Why don't you turn to your Bibles will to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Here the Apostle Paul, along with Silas and those trooping, Barnabas, trooping with him in the first missionary journey, as we recede, refer to it, having been sent out of the church at Antioch and into Asia Minor, and we catch it here as it's approaching the journey's end, and we let's read here in verse number. Let's pick it up in verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And so, again, this is in that first missionary journey. And some time ago, we took a look about the ministry of the Apostle Paul and how it was a ministry of many, many years. And the brother had been being taught of the Lord and being used in the churches, learning those things that he needed to learn to be used of the Lord many years before he was sent out by the church at Antioch, and it was manifested that he was indeed the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, so he's been saved for a lot of years and in this first journey. And so they stoned him and threw him out of the city, thinking he was dead. Verse 20, howbeit his disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21, Acts 14, 21. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Listen, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. So they're visiting back those that they had preached to and had been saved and churches established. They were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. They're preaching to them, teaching them, and reminding them, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to look at tonight, is this subject of much tribulation. Much tribulation. You know, it'd do us well to take our pen and underline that. I don't know if you're an underliner or not, but it would do us well to make mark of that, because it is by much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. As the children of God, we are guaranteed by the Lord that we are going to have tribulation. Now understand what this word tribulation means. Here in this passage, it means pressure. That's what the word tribulation means, pressure. Or affliction, anguish. When we talk about our lives, our skin, our emotion, that's all here within us. We have our heart and all that, our soul and the person that we are. We've been made mankind, men and women, after the image and likeness of God. So He's created us this way, in this trichotomy that we are, body, soul, and spirit. We, through much pressure, are going to enter into the kingdom. And that's talking about to the saved. The Apostle Paul was reminded of that when they stoned him up in that city and took him outside and left him for dead. He was reminded of that. And I believe the Lord worked miraculously in that he was not dead. And then when he went to those other cities, he reminded those folks about the much tribulation. And so this thing of pressure, we're going to, you know, there's an idea, a thinking, maybe a modern day, it is a modern day thinking. We've been so blessed in our country that we're just used to everything going pretty good and everything being fairly plentiful and everybody being fairly healthy and everything being fairly okay. But you know what? The blessings of God can be that way, but you and I are not guaranteed that. By no means. And if we take a look at the saints and take a look at writings of those that have suffered for the Lord, those that have lived in different times, and even what those that the Scripture tells about, the people of God are going to have much tribulation. Now, why is that? Well, it's because we're strangers to this world. We're strangers. We're not members of this society, okay? We are pilgrims. We are strangers. If we are indeed the Lord's, aren't we? Are we the Lord's, or are we belong to the world? If we're the Lord's, we're going to stand out. And so we're going to have this pressure, this tribulation, much tribulation, and we're going to have it from many different sides. It's going to be that way. And of course, we happen to think, and I mean it's natural, I should say, and we know that this is so, we certainly are subject to have pressure, tribulation from Satan, aren't we? I mean, if the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, is not exempt, then we're not exempt. Now, a thing that I believe is that I believe once the Spirit of God lives within, I believe the Scripture bears this out, there is no room for Satan within, because Jesus is the strong man. Now, we still have this old mind and this old flesh. That's still with us. That's like an old dead man on our back, on the back of the new man. And he's still corrupt. He's still depraved. He still remembers most of his old sin and junk. He's still subject to temptation and all that of the world and the advertising of Satan and all that. But the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God living within, there's no room for Satan within. But you know what? By the eye gate and the ear gate and the flesh, Satan can still work on us. I don't believe Satan whispers in our ear, okay? Because I don't believe that we hear the talking of Satan. I believe that myself is that it's the old man, what the old man learns, what the old man keeps, what the old man has, his wicked experience and all that. That's there. We're subject to the advertisement in the world, and then we can take that to us. We can hear the message of Satan through the world. We can hear the message of Satan through the advertisement, the technology, those who are unsaved, our brothers and sisters in Christ, even that are not behaving right, behaving well. We can hear it from them. And then we can take that to ourselves. And James, we're going to hopefully read a little bit there in the book of James about how it is with us. We can take that and grab a hold of that. And then we're pursuing after sin ourselves then. In that we've listened to Satan. But Satan's not over here on this shoulder and the Lord over here on this shoulder and they're duking it out. The strong man's inside. Will you and I avail ourselves to him? And he's not weak. Okay, he's not weak. It's not saying that the Lord is weak by any means. But so, for some reason and somehow in the way that this is, we've looked at recently, we've got this new man, we are this new man in Christ. And we've got yet this old man on our back. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that's the case for all of us that are saved. Of course, those that are not saved, all they know is what they know naturally. They are subject to be taken by Satan and used at him whenever the Lord doesn't prevent it. They can hear and be possessed. Was not Mary Magdalene possessed of many devils? Right, it can be. We even have in the Scriptures, the Lord tells us Himself, is that a man can clean up his life after the influence of Satan and his minions and clean up his life, and then that old wicked spirit will come back with even more than there was before. And that's what the Lord said right out of His mouth. And so that's the case, the perilous, perilous case of the unsaved. But we who are saved, we have that. And certainly we can be tempted by Satan. We've got to remember this. Luke chapter 4. Look at this quickly. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 5, and the devil taking him, that is the Lord Jesus, Luke 4, verse 5, and the devil taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. I don't believe he was lying. He is the prince and the power of the air. That's his title. He's a prince. He's been given authority. He's been given a responsibility. And of course, we know the Scripture bears out, he's not doing it well. And he will stand accountable before God for that. Okay? But I think here, he is laying it all on the line with this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is indeed the Son of God, come in the flesh. Satan's laying it all on the line, because if he can compromise him in just one way, he's got him all. The stuff of the world doesn't matter if Jesus will bow down and worship him. And so he has this here. He says, "And to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." Listen, brothers and sisters, we are going to suffer much tribulation, okay? And we're not, I'm not looking for a, we're not looking to have a pity party for ourselves. We're not to get a bad attitude and understanding about it, but we need to be sober about it. If all the stuff of this world is under the control of Satan when he wants to use it, will it not deal us a fit? I'm talking about governments. I'm talking about those who are wealthy. I'm talking about those who are in the world. Those that are possessed by Satan and his minions. Those who are affected by the worldliness of man. We can have pressure from those things and from all that. If your car works, it's a miracle. You hear me? This stuff that's made out of sand and a little bit of precious metals. I tell Clarissa, I said, if this works, it's a miracle. Don't get dependent on this stuff that it'll always work. Because see, isn't that the way it is with us? As we say, it's not working. I do that with this thing. I press the button and it takes it forever to come on. It should come on instantly. It's a miracle if it works in the first place. This is Satan's stuff. Okay, I'm not saying that technology is bad, but this is in his realm. Can God use this and bless it? He can do it. You and I are to use this in a righteous way. But this stuff, how much angst does this, how much problem? Somebody the other day, their computer went on the blink. And we get upset and we get riled and we get festered and that's the stuff of this carnal world. And don't let that cause us pressure. But it will cause us pressure. We need to keep our hearts and minds in the right place. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying computers are bad. I'm not saying technology is bad. I'm saying the stuff of this world, you can't depend on it. Who can you depend on? The Lord. Okay? That's maybe a better way to say it. Satan, it's all under his control. So if the Lord doesn't keep Satan, doesn't keep a hedge about us, Satan will look to influence anything he can influence to bring us much tribulation. Man, that's just a sober outlook, okay? Should we fear? No, we should trust the Lord. But when it comes about, when it breaks, when it doesn't work, may I stop and pray, and may I ask for the Lord's help and His blessing and not lose my cool and not exhibit a lack of faith in the Lord. And I've preached to you, and you know that I've taught it. You know that I believe it. The Lord can intervene in anything to keep us out of trouble or to help us or to answer a prayer, can He? Yeah, that's what we pray that He will do. Okay, so I'm not saying the Lord's hands are off of everything. In regards to the children of the Lord, if it wasn't for the Lord's hands on stuff and blessing on stuff, He would be using it against us and be against us even more. It's the blessing of God that we do have blessings. Remember Job. The whole thing with Job was Satan ready to get at him and the Lord wanting to prove him. Isn't that a fair statement about Job? The Lord wanted to bring Job onto the next level, and the Lord chose to use Satan to do some of it. Now, Satan didn't work in the blessed stuff. All Satan did was work in the pressure, the tribulation. And then the Lord dealt with Job and helped him out much, didn't He? We're going to get it from the world, as we've seen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, "And that we may," the apostle writes, "that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." That can be the case. he had dealt with unreasonableness and wicked men and just their unreasonable wickedness in that. Sometimes you and I run into a thing, we say, "What is going on with that? That is so out in left field. That is so upside down. That is just so bad thinking and a way to do a thing or say about a thing or to operate about a thing. Don't we run into those things? We maybe say we get to the point where we want to pull out our hair because it's so unreasonable. But we're going to get pressure from the world. And you know what? And then in John, 3 John, verse 9, take a look over here. Look at this. This was a man in one of the Lord's churches. And may God help us that we stay with the Lord. We not seek our own device. We've got to do what we have to do in front of us. We need to obey the Lord, hide the word of the Lord in our hearts, not sin against Him, live for Him, be a witness of Him. We need to follow the Lord and serve Him, worship Him. But here John, the Apostle John, writes to Gaius, and he says here in verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This is a man in the church there. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Malice, words of malice, this is 3 John, verse 10, and not content with that, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, but forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So here's a man he's in the church, and he's not doing good, and he's causing the people in that church pressure, and he's causing the apostle pressure, because you know what, we're not going to enter into the kingdom without much tribulation. It's just that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. How far? You know, our problems, some of the genesis for this message tonight, it just seemed to be so necessary, and I trust of the Lord. You know, our church on many fronts, as individuals, as families, and as a church, we're facing difficulties. Here, it seems like in the last 3 weeks to a month, it's just that way. Here's something, there's something, here's another thing, there's another thing, there's another thing, there's another thing. And of course, as pastor, I might know about some things more than maybe other members of the church would know because of being pastor and those confiding in me. And then we've all got our own homes, we've got our extended family. And we've just got pressure. We've got tribulation. And some of it may be self-related, job-related, child-related, parent-related, aunt and uncle-related, church-related, health-related, finances-related, whatever else is there in life. It can be all come from all different kind of directions, can it? And so, how far can it be? I mean, and we have not resisted to blood, but that doesn't make that the pressure, the tribulation that we have is not real. It is real. And it hurts. And it challenges us. And it makes us cry, and it makes us sad, and it makes us disappointed. It does. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle writes in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The apostle had learned, he's got a couple missionary journeys under his belt, plus all that learning that he did before the Lord called him out of Antioch to do these works and establish these churches in Asia Minor and beyond, in Greece and beyond. And whether we be afflicted, verse 6, it is for your consolation. It is for your consolation and salvation. He said it's not without a reason, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. He said, whether I'm afflicted or whether I'm being helped, it's all because of the ministry towards you, church at Corinth, members at the church of Corinth, that this is what it took to get the Word of God to you and to get this edifying Word of this epistle to you. The brother had experience in dealing with pressure, tribulation, and in his growth and what he learned of the Lord, he was able to help his brethren. I mean, that's the reason we have this epistle. It goes on. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. He said, I want to let you know how bad it was, which came to us in Asia, that is Asia Minor, that we were pressed out of measure, pressure, above strength, so weak. You got something going on that just makes you tired? Some people deal with pressure by just going to bed. That's just the way that it's a way that it is. Pressure, tribulation. He says, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Are we going to die? Now, maybe some of us here tonight have had so much on you that even you despaired of life. It could be. And I'm not talking about, don't go the suicide route. Don't do that. Self-murder is not pleasing to God. It's not. And it's prevalent in our day. Why? Because men seek to themselves. But we need to, as the Lord's children, we need to rest in the Lord, knowing that the pressure is not out of the control of God, but knowing that the pressure is going to come. We need to have our focus right about it. It's going to come. And we're going to try to get to something here that will help us with that. He says, insomuch that we despaired of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He says, I did all I could do. If anything's going to happen, it's going to have to be the Lord. You know, and if we'll get good, if we'll get to thinking when trouble, tribulation, pressure comes, good times, bad times, the way of daily life, taking it all to the Lord. We get the bad news, as we, relative to the way we think about it. We get the call. Some of you know about the call, don't you? You get the call. Things can happen. We can have this and that and the other and that go on, and you'll be afraid to answer the phone. You ever had that? Afraid to answer the phone. Yeah, it can happen. He says, we don't need to trust in our... He said, I didn't trust in myself. He says, I had no ability, but I trusted in the Lord. And that, so how far can this tribulation, this pressure, it can cause us to even despair of life? Now, we need to understand this. Matthew chapter 10. As children of God, and walking in this world, and walking in this life, sojourning through this land, we need to remember that the Lord has made us some promises. He's made us a bunch of good promises. But then He's told us some sober things too that we need to know. He says here in Matthew chapter 10, let's pick it up in verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. That's part of being salt and light. Lord's in control of this. When the bottom line, beginning and end, the alpha and the omega of any of it in our life, is the Lord in control? Are we looking to the Lord? Are we seeking the Lord's help and the Lord's face and trusting the Lord in it? Or are we running in circles and screaming and shouting? He says, we need to confess men. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He said, this is really going bad for my skin. But I know that the Lord's in control of it somehow. I know that the Lord is working it. I trust that the Lord is working in this somehow. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When we are under pressure, do we represent the Lord well? Do we rest in Him and trust in Him? We need to. Do we fail in that? We do. Repent of it and ask the Lord to help us the next time. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You claim the name of Christ. You try to live for the Lord. It's going to cause pressure. It's going to cause pressure. Do you realize that people in the world that are looking on at us, folks in the world in our lives, our family, our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors that are looking on at us, that the Lord has saved, they're looking and they're watching us, and they watch us in the good times, and then they watch us in the tough times. Because they're watching us on how we're going to react to all of life. And do we honor and acknowledge the Lord when it's pressure's on, when the squeezing's on, when we are going and pursuing what we believe the Lord would have us to do and stand in and follow in service and worship and doctrine and the Word of God, and then pressure comes our way? What's our reaction going to be? Because the Lord says He's not come to send peace, but a sword. I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's difficulty with that in our world today. May God help us in the temptation of putting our children before the Lord. Have you done that? I've done that. I should not do that. I love my children. But I need to love the Lord first. And you know what? That'll be a right good witness to my children, to my grandchildren. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household, and there'll be pressure there. There's this aspect of contention. Contention, and this is kind of just doing a word study in regards to this much tribulation. In Acts chapter 15, had a great missionary journey. First journey was just wonderful, wasn't it? Except for John Mark. He had trouble. He caused a compromise. And you know what? In Acts chapter 15, verse number 39, it says here, verse 38, though they determined to go back, okay, the beginning, what would be the beginning of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, let's go back and visit everybody. And in verse 37 of Acts 15, Barnabas determines to take John Mark with him. Paul thought it not good to take him with them because at Pamphylia, he bailed out on them. And the contention, verse 39, was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. Who is right? It doesn't matter who is right. But there was pressure right there in the church at Antioch. There was pressure. Now, what the Lord gave Barnabas in it was that John Mark was helped, wasn't he? But see, Paul, he couldn't be fretting with a man that he couldn't trust. And so they both had their case, and it caused pressure. Now, I dare not say which one was wrong. I believe that this was just the failure of John Mark, the allowance of the Lord, and then no doubt by prayer and supplication and just the working of God Almighty, the Lord got a hold of John Mark, used Barnabas to help him. John Mark became profitable to the Apostle Paul later on, didn't he? But Paul couldn't mess with him because he had failed him, and Barnabas wouldn't give up on him, and it was a blessing to Paul in the end. You know where we get the Gospel of Mark from? From this very man. And so that caused pressure. In Philippians chapter 1, we see here the Apostle Paul writing, and seemingly he is in Rome in jail, and we see here about these that cause contention. This is pressure even from the saints, okay? This man claimed to be the Lord. Listen to this in verse number 16. And listen how the apostle writes in this. Let's back up verse 12. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. What? You being in jail has been the furtherance of the gospel? See, it took years, and the blessing of the Lord, and the submitting to the Lord of this proud man that had been saved by the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he had been brought to the point by the Lord and trust in the Lord and faith in the Lord. He says, me coming to jail here in Rome has been for the furtherance of the gospel. Don't you remember after the first journey they stoned him and left him for dead? I don't want to remember that. But that's the truth. He'd been through it. He rehearses to the church at Corinth about all the things that he has been through. Beaten, stoned, left for dead, dropped out of a basket, there out of Damascus, on the run, shipwrecked, starving, not enough clothes to wear, cold, hot, thirsty. Been through it all. And he says, me being in jail here, it's fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, Caesar's palace, if we understand it right, and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It's been an encouragement to them. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one, verse 16, preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. There's those that are out there preaching Christ and then going back and running back to seeing what the report is on Paul, hoping that they'll take him and put the squeeze on him even more. Listen to what he says about that. Or the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 17, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Christ is preached. Those men will answer for what they do, their attitude, their way. If they seek the harm of the brother, if they're not even saved, they'll answer for what they do. But he rejoiced in that the Word of God was preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Wow. But it was contention. It caused pressure. But how did Paul deal with the pressure? He said, I'm glad the gospel's being preached. I can't get out there on the street, but they can. Whether they're preaching it to hurt me, or they're being encouraged by me being here in jail, or their love, the Lord's love for them, their love for the Lord, their love for me as their minister, ministering to them in the faith, they're encouraged to preach, and I rejoice in that. But there was pressure from that, wasn't there? He said, in Philippi, they spoke the word of God with boldness, but there was pressure there, wasn't it? Remember, in Philippi, they got thrown in jail, into the inner part of the prison. But that's what it took to get a hold of that jailer. That's what it took. And he rested in that. Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 13, relative to this much tribulation and how it is, the challenge. Each one of us that have claimed that we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a challenge before us to persevere. The Lord's people will persevere. They will. And you know, we'll only be able to do it by the power of the Lord. We only will be, but we will. We will persevere. He said, in Matthew, speaking about this different ground, in verse number 21, talking about this one in stony places, he says here in verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, pressure, because of the word, by and by he's offended. Pressure. How do we handle it? The Lord says in John chapter 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, what Satan controls, generally speaking, ye shall have tribulation, pressure. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." He can take care of it. He can help us in it. He may not relieve the pressure, but he can give us help in it, can we? And can he? In Romans chapter 5, I preached a message here a little while ago about hope. And let's just read quickly here. We don't have time to deal with this passage. In Romans chapter 5, remember this. May we all remember this. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 5, quickly, verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith," we're justified, been made just as if we've never sinned, "by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." What He's done for us. All that grace bestowed of all those different aspects of salvation and necessity for salvation of the soul that the Lord has bestowed upon us. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith." We have access to the Lord by faith. Into this grace wherein we stand, the grace of the Lord. It's not just a word, brothers and sisters. It's what the Lord's done to us in providing the sacrifice and washing sins away with His blood and granting eternal life and being our sins laid on Him in that imputation that is there, right? My sins imputed to Christ. His righteousness is imputed to me. Those are all facets of the grace of God. We could not do those things. He's done it for us and bestowed it on us. And we've been brought from being an alien to being the family. We belong before the Lord. It's expected for you and I, who are the children of God, to show up before the throne of grace to find the grace to help in time of need. We belong there. We're children. We're not far off from the Lord anymore. We've been made sons. By faith, verse 2 there in the middle, "and to this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We look forward to that, our hope in seeing the Lord and being with Him in His glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Pressure. Pressure. The Apostle Paul was blessed to arrive at a point, I believe, that when he saw a difficulty coming, rather than being down, he would smile and say, "Here's opportunity for the Lord again. Here's opportunity for the Lord to work again." I don't want to put too much into that, but I think that he rested in that. "We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience." Pressure works patience because the pressure's on. And we've got to wait. We've got to wait for the answer. We've got to wait for the next thing to happen. What does it say? We've got to wait for the shoe to drop. We got to wait. We got to wait on the Lord. "Tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience." The apostle had experience with the Lord, didn't he? When he saw something that we felt that pressure and saw that pressure coming on with the brethren that were with him, the churches that he ministered to, he says, "Okay, here's an opportunity for the Lord to work. How's he going to do it this time? I've seen him do it before. How's he going to do it this time?" Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Because we've been down the road a little bit with the Lord, and we've rested in Him, we've trusted in Him in difficult times, and seen how He's blessed, seen how He's delivered. Maybe the whole thing, from the human standpoint, was a mess. But the Lord at least gave peace and help and grace in it. Whatever it is. It says here, "And hope maketh not ashamed," or one to blush, or one to feel disgrace. Because, see, we know that the Lord is going to work. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Lord's love for us, our love for Him. In Revelation chapter 1, think of this. Speaking of pressure. And again, our tribulation is real to us. But consider this. You ever been exiled? Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. It's because of John's tribulation, that pressure put on him to be in and by himself on the Isle of Patmos, that we have the book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told the disciples about the blind man. They asked him, said, why was this man born blind? Because of his parents or because of his sin? Parents' sin, his sin. The Lord said, neither. But that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Are you and I ready for the works of God to be made manifest in us? It's how we react to the pressure, to the tribulation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Try to take the Word of God and apply it right and live it right. There may be persecution even from those we would think there would not be persecution from. Could be. Railing. A bad spirit. Not dealing with a difference or a thing that someone would take exception with in a right, godly way. What's our reaction going to be? How will we react? May God help that you and I would react well. And then just a little bit more. Hang in here with me. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Let's take a look here. Matthew chapter 24. Of course, this passage is talking about much about what's going to happen. The Lord's dealing with Israel. But the principle is here. In verse number 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, speaking of the end times. And I tell you what, we're there. Not exactly as this passage speaks about, but we're there. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Love of the truth, love for the Lord, love and obedience. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Those that look to the Lord, it's going to be manifested that they are the children of God. But what about when the pressure comes on? It's easy to serve the Lord on the mountaintop. May God help us in the valley. May God help us in the valley. And He promises that He will. He says in Mark chapter 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In James chapter 5, let's take a look over there. James 5. Enduring under the tribulation, under the pressure. In James chapter 5. Talking about the prophets that have endured much for the Lord. With patience. He says in verse 11 of James 5, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But you know what? We may need to wait on the Lord during the pressure. We may need to wait on the Lord. In the prayer. He's faithful. He is of the greatest fidelity. The Lord indeed can be trusted even in these things. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is, I think of Joseph. When I see this and read this passage, and the principle is here in this, and First Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief or pressure or problems or difficulty, even suffering wrongfully. It's all untrue. That was the case with Joseph, wasn't it? Everything he was accused of was untrue. And he suffered for it. And from what the Scripture tells us, there's not one negative thing that's written about Joseph's reaction to it all. Oh, he wondered. He wondered. And he considered. But we don't see any point of Joseph disobeying and all the wrongful thing that he endured for some 17 or 13 years. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. That's an interesting thing there. He was falsely accused. They told lies on him. They told falsehoods on him. And he just let it lay. Because it wasn't true. And it was shown and it was proved that it wasn't true indeed. In James chapter 1, when the pressure is on, may God help us that we remember this and put this to use. May God help us in it. In James chapter 1, my brethren, verse number 2, brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Good or bad, easy or hard. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. God's at work in it. Okay? This speaks to the trying of the Lord. He tries us. Remember how it was with the children of Israel? That He says, I'm going to do this or so, and I'm going to try them, and I'm going to see if they'll be faithful to me or not. You think the Lord does that to us? You think the Lord squeezes us some to see what's going to come out? The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not. Go to the Lord with it, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Said, this is impossible, Lord, but I doubt you'll bless in it. No, we need to go with confidence that the Lord will work what He is pleased with in it. We bring in the desire of our heart in it, but say, yet nevertheless, yield to, nevertheless, thy will be done. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do you not think one way one day, and one day another, and back another day, and another way, depending on how the pressure goes? We need to go to the Word of God. Take it, receive it, believe it. When I'm wrong, I need to change. Repent of it and change. And when we've got it from the Lord, the way that we should be, the way we should operate, the way we should pursue, that we follow that. Knowing the Lord is with us, believing and trusting the Lord is with us, and stay the course in that. And then it comes down here. Listen to this. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, tribulation, pressure, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Perseverance. Faithful to the end. And then it goes on to talk about some of the things that we've mentioned about what Satan does. In verse 13, this is talking about this temptation and how we take the temptation of the world, the temptation of the things of life, even the temptation of Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ said, lead us, that we pray in the model prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, there's a trying and testing of the Lord, and then there's those things that Satan will parade around in front of us, looking to get us to bite. And here's what happens when we bite. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. But see, God tries, but he doesn't tempt to wickedness. And in the testing of the Lord, we will be tested to obey or disobey. And it's wicked to disobey. But Satan likes to throw stuff out there at us that if we follow after, it leads to its wickedness. It's sinful in that. And this is what works in us. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, it's an us thing, not a devil thing. The devil does go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know how he devours us? By our ignorance of the Word, not knowing the promises of God, and then following that sin that brings pleasure for a season. He gets our testimony. He gets and takes our witness, and we're found there in the midst of hypocrisy. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away and of his own lust and enticed. With lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it always brings forth death. May God help us in it. Much tribulation, much pressure. In 2 Corinthians 12, we'll close. He talks about his thorn in the flesh. He talks about the things that the Lord had given him in the flesh, the Apostle Paul, because of the things, the revelations, the blessing and working of God, the Scripture that he'd been blessed to you and used of the Lord to write. He understood that he had been given those things in his body, allowed by the Lord, directed by the Lord. However that is, those things are in the hands of God. But that it might keep him from rising up and thinking more of himself than he should think. And he says here, he besought the Lord for that in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians 12. And he said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, Paul, in the flesh, in that aspect that you've asked for, the Lord speaking, if you will, he says, I'm going to leave you weak in that. In your flesh, I'm going to leave that pressure on. You know what? I'll be enough. I'll be enough. My grace, what I will give you, but you can't come and snatch it from me, but what I'll give you, the grace that I'll give you, see, grace isn't the gravy. It's the description of what the Lord did. The Lord gave him strength. The Lord gave him help. The Lord gave him comfort. Whether it was pain or whether it was frustration or inability to do a thing that he could do before, however this was in this thorn of the flesh, the Lord gave him what he needed to be able to cope with it and rest in the Lord about it. Whether it be John Mark coming or other brethren that would come and minister to the brother, the Lord gave him what he needed that he couldn't get for himself. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, he says, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my much tribulation. And in this one, he's in particular talking about that of the body. We've got those we know of that are sick, some that have been very sick. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe you've been ill. Maybe something's going on with you that you wonder about if you're not going to be, I was going to say sicker, but that's not good English. More ill. You know, I mean, we can have that. You take that to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Ask our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for us if that's appropriate. I recommend it. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen to this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Wow. I tell you, I'm not there. I take pleasure in reproaches, being accused of a thing that's not true. I take pleasure, he says, in necessities. I take pleasure in persecutions. Those unreasonable men that would just bring the junk upon for no need whatsoever, but they do so because they are jealous of their faith, they're jealous of their peace, or they just hate the way of God manifested in His people. In distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Much tribulation. May the Lord help us to realize and know that it's going to be, that we're going to have much tribulation. That it may come from a source that you may never expect. You would say it's unreasonable for it to come from that way. But when it does, may the Lord help us. We just seek His face. That He helps us. That we be encouraged in Him. That if we need to be challenged about something that we believe, we stand in and we do that, we look to the Lord in it, and then whatever it is that the Lord gives us and that we see from the Scripture, we follow that. Or we have the infirmity of the flesh, that we just rest in the Lord about it. Or we have the government. The government is getting to the point to where it's like the brother said about Mexico. Our government is coming to a point that's going to make everybody, every citizen, a criminal. It's the way it is in Mexico. Everybody's a criminal in Mexico. Because at any time, there's always some law that somebody is in violation of. And it's happening in our country. Because the foundation of the principles of God have been departed from, and men are grappling to try to control some wickedness and sin or under a cloak of controlling that, with it being just fraught with wickedness and sin in the background. And so that's going to come our way. And the evil's called good, and good's called evil. It's going to bring the pressure on. May God help us that we walk with Him, rest with Him. Amen. For you that are here and not saved, there'll be no greater tribulation than you waking up, departing out of life at death without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in hell. And that'll be eternal punishment and damnation from God for your sins. You need Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not in anything you can do or any shape you can whip yourself up into to make yourself presentable before God. But it's all in Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, His resurrection. To trust and believe in Him that He did so for you. To admit before God that you need it, that you're guilty, that you indeed are the candidate that is in the great necessity for what Christ has done. Yes, I'm guilty. And I need what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Repent of your sins and trust in Him.